So this morning, we're going to be looking in John chapter 15. You can go ahead and turn to that. I don't know if you've noticed, I put a few more notes on your bulletin than I usually do. It's because there's a bunch of things. I was talking to Mickey about it this morning. I was like, I just want to make sure I'm explaining myself better, and I just feel like if I got it wrote down, y'all can look at it later. You're like, man, what's he talking about? But if I put it there in front of you, you can look at it later if you miss it here. But this week we're looking at the final I am saying. Last week we were talking about how Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. We read that last week, or where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm sorry. And this week we're looking at, I am the true vine. And along with that, a few verses later, we'll see where he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And we're going to be talking about that. So this week, Jesus and his disciples, as we talked about last week, they were in the upper room. It was during the Last Supper. And they're still there in the upper room in Jerusalem. And Jesus is still having this final discourse with his disciples. It's the final talk, if you will. And it's so what's going to happen is the next day, he's going to be crucified, and he's going to be arrested later on that night, and he's going to be crucified. And so as they finish the Last Supper and they're still in the upper room, they're getting ready to leave when Jesus says another I am saying. And now he's going to talk about this relationship that we as Christians should have with him as the Christ, as he's the Christ. Because he says that we're unable to do anything apart from him. You know, many times in life, what we do is we try to do things the way we want to do them. We try to do things what I want. And lots of times it's about me. And what we need to understand, that what Jesus is trying to teach us here in chapter 15 in this section of Scripture, is that we are not to be so much worried about ourselves. We need to abide in him. We need to be as a branch, because if you're a child of God, that's what you are. You are a branch. He is the vine. We have to abide in the vine. And we're going to talk about that a little more this morning. And we're going to be looking in chapter 15. And we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 15. And we're going to read all the way through verse 17. So I want to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. And we're going to start in verse 1. Of chapter 15 of the book of John. And it says this. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you my friends. For all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. This is God's Word. Let's pray. Holy God, thank You for Your Word. It's life. It is knowledge, and that's how You speak to us, Father. I pray, Lord, that You speak to us through Your Word today. Open our hearts to what You have to teach us. I thank You that we can hear You through Your Word. And pray, Lord, that we can learn how we can better abide in You by being obedient and reading Your Word. Thank You, God, for loving us. Thank You for saving us. It's these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, our focal verse this morning is going to be John 15:5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in Me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without Me, you can do nothing. So what we see here, what I want you to understand first is what it means to abide. Okay, and I think it's important for us to understand this word abide in the original Greek. It's a word. It's meno. It means to remain in place, not to depart, to continue to be present, to maintain. The biblical meaning is to maintain an unbroken fellowship with. So who are we to maintain an unbroken fellowship with? Well, in his scripture, he says the vine. The vine is Christ. So we're supposed to maintain an unbroken relationship with Jesus. But that gets kind of difficult sometimes, right, in life. We experience some things, but we are to remain in Jesus. We are not to depart from Jesus. We're to continue always to be present with Jesus, to maintain that unbroken fellowship with the Lord. As Jesus uses this description of a vine and its branches, this would have been very familiar to these men that he's talking to. When he's talking to the disciples, being these men from Israel, they would have been familiar with this. They probably pictured a central grapevine with the branches growing off of it. A branch abides in the vine. In other words, it survives by the vine because the branch receives water. It receives nutrients from the vine. It's a vital connection, as it is for us. It's a vital connection that we maintain our connection with Jesus Christ. Sometimes what we do, though, is we maintain a connection with Him at least once a week, right? At church, we come to church, and we may read our Bible, and we may abide in Him then at church. Maybe we come on Wednesday night service, and we'll come then. But short of that, the rest of the time, we don't too much abide in Him, do we? We get worked up over things. We get thinking about our lives and what we want. But if we are to have a relationship with the vine, we've got to abide in Christ. And we've got to do that all the time. We've just got to do it all the time. It's got to be a part of our life that we do that. It's a vital connection. And without this vital connection, not only can the branch not produce fruit, but it will wither and die. That's what we just read in the scripture, is that it will wither and die. So we're going to talk about that this morning, our relationship with the vine. We're going to talk about our relationship and if we are abiding in Christ. So the first thing we must do to abide in Christ is we abide to bear fruit. And we're going to look at these first couple of verses here. And I believe what Jesus is trying to say here, and I'm going to explain this in just a second. Just give me a second. But I believe what Jesus is trying to explain here, I think what He's trying to say is if we don't abide in Him, we will die. Now you're probably saying, well, that's pretty hard. You know, that's pretty tough saying right there, isn't it? But I think this is exactly what Jesus is intending to communicate. We have to abide in Him or your spirit. It will slowly wither and die a slow, fruitless death. In verse 6, it says, if anyone does not abide in Me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. So it's about the death of the spirit. The spirit that's in us. We all know that we're going to die a physical death one day, right? We started dying the day we were born, okay? So we all know that we're going to die a physical death. But to have true life, true eternal life, a true spiritual life in Him, we must abide in Jesus Christ. We must abide to have life. And if we have a life in Him, we should bear fruit. So I really think it's just that simple. I think it's just that simple. If you look in verse 2, it says this. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Now look, I want to explain this takes away. That's why I've got a little extra in your notes about this. Because sometimes, I'm not sure if any of you in here believe this, but some people believe that when they read this, that when He says He takes away, they think it means He takes away your salvation. Okay, let me let you know real quick. That's not what He's saying. And I want to explain to you what He's saying here. That's what some believe. Some believe that you would go to hell if you're not bearing fruit, if that's what he's saying. But that's not what He's saying. He said, let's look at that beginning of that verse. What does it say at the beginning of that verse? It says, every branch in me. Right? So, we've already talked about this. Every branch. Who's the branch? Come on, say it out loud. We are. We're the branch, right? Okay, so if we're Christians, if we have surrendered our life to Jesus Christ, we are the branch. When He's talking about me, He says, every branch in me, who's the me? Jesus. That's right, that good Sunday school answer, right? Jesus. That's the right answer for everything, Sunday school, right? So that good Sunday school answer, Jesus. That's right. So that's Jesus. So remember a few weeks ago when we studied John chapter 10, when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Remember we read there in John 10:28, He said, I give them eternal life that they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So I'll give you another verse, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. So it's a gift of God that we have eternal life. So your salvation is secure. You're not going to lose your salvation here because you don't bear fruit. Okay? You're not going to lose. If you are a child of God, you're always a child of God. Okay? That life was given to you by God. It belongs to Him. When you surrendered your life to Him, it belongs to Him. You can't lose nothing that don't belong to you, okay? Our lives belong to Jesus. So we can't lose that eternal life with Him. So what is He meaning when He says this in verse 2, when He says, every branch in me that is in me does not bear fruit, He takes away. Well, there's another Greek word here I want to teach y'all this morning. And that Greek word is aero. And here it's translated takes away. But it's also translated another way. If you look in your notes, it says takes away or lift up is what it says. So it's a verb. This same verb is used in other places in the Bible. And it can mean to remove. It can mean to lift up or to carry something from one place to another. In a biblical context, though, it often refers to the removing or the taking away of sin. When we first began this series in John, we heard John the Baptist say in John 1:29, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the same word, aero, that's what was used in that verse in the original Greek also. But it's not talking about that He's going to take them away and that they're going to hell. He takes away. He also, through this taking away, He lifts them up. When He takes away our sin, what does He do to us? He lifts us up. Right? That's what this word means here. And that's what I want you to understand in this verse 2. That's what it means. So let me ask you this. How many gardeners we got in the room? Brother Ed, you need to raise your hand. Because you always bring them tomatoes and peppers on Wednesday night. So if we've got gardeners here, how many of you raise tomatoes? Probably a lot of us, right? Well, if the tomatoes grow on the ground, they really don't bear fruit well, do they? Because they get dirt and mud. Sometimes they don't even bloom. So what do? We have to lift them up. You got to go stick them. Look, let me tell you something. When I was a boy, my granddaddy had a little 5-acre plot. And I've told a couple of y'all this before. He had a lot more land, but he had one little 5-acre plot set aside. And every year he'd plant the whole 5 acres in okra. And then the next year he'd plant the whole 5 acres in tomatoes. Now, first off, I had to get out there and I had to plant them tomato plants. And as a teenager, I wasn't none too happy about that. But what was even worse than that was after they got up so high, we had a broom factory in Otagable, and he would go to that broom factory and get a truckload of broom handles. And I'd have to go out there and I'd have to stake every one of them blooming plants. You know, in that 5 acre thing, I'd have to get out there and he'd have a ball of baler twine out there and I'd have to tie them up. But the reason we tie them up is so that they can bear fruit, right? Because if they're laying on the ground withering, they can't bear fruit. When I was studying for this, I read a commentator who said he actually went to a vine dresser in a vineyard and he noticed the branches that were on the ground. And he asked the vine dresser, he says, "So you just chop these up and throw them away?" He says, "No. Every branch is valuable to me. Because every branch that I can make survive will bear fruit." He says, "So what I do is I pick them up and I tie them up." He lifts us up when we're not bearing fruit so that we can bear fruit. But going back to the tomato analogy, I'm just going to tell you, some of us are better boys, and some of us are Tommy Toes. Right? Some of us are bearing fruit, but some of us are bearing big fruit, big tomatoes, and some are just bearing small ones, and some aren't bearing any at all. So he calls on us to bear fruit. If we are abiding in Christ, we should be bearing fruit. And it says also, too, that every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. The branch that is bearing fruit is the Christian who is growing to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who that is. Even the branches that are bearing fruit, they have to be pruned. They need to be cleaned. They need to be cleansed. Sometimes you got to prune them because they got a fungus growing on them. Sometimes you got to prune them because they've been demolished by insects. Sometimes they just have to be cleansed. And sometimes he has to do that to us, even when we're bearing fruit. He may have to prune some people out of our lives. That's what he may have to do, is prune some people out of our lives. He may have to prune the work you're doing out of your life, because it's taking you're bearing fruit. Yeah, you're bearing fruit, but that work you're doing is taking too much time, taking up too much of your time. And you know what? You need to be bearing more fruit with your family. So maybe that's why he prunes you. You know, but he does that to help us to create more fruit. He does that so we will bear more fruit. So we may be abiding in him, we may be bearing fruit, but you know, what he's saying is this, I know you're producing fruit, but I just know you can produce a lot more. So I want to trim you back. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day that asked me, I can't remember who it was. We got this rose bush out here by the sign, and it's gotten kind of wild. And we're going to have to prune that back some this fall, because it's got kind of wild. I know Laura talks about it when she's putting up the letters on the sign sometimes, because the letters will fall down in that rose bush and it's full of thorns. But so this fall we're going to have to prune that back a little bit. But you know, we prune back a rose bush like that too. Why? So it'll produce better. So it doesn't get so wild and it produces more flowers so that we can see it. So it just looks better. So sometimes that has to happen. And also too, you got to understand this. In verse 4, he says this in verse 4. He says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." See, the thing is, an independent branch bears no fruit. So you might be trying to do everything on your own, trying to do everything by yourself. You can't do that. You can only do it. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Do you understand that? We've got to have Him. True life in Jesus that bears fruit for a true life in Jesus that bears fruit, we must abide in the vine. So we must abide in the vine. to bear fruit. The next thing we have to do is we have to abide in His Word. And when we abide, he says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. When we abide in Jesus Christ, we should have the mind of Christ. We should see things the way He does. We should look at things with His eyes and understand what He should want from us. You know, a few years ago, there was a trend going around. Everybody was wearing these bracelets and t-shirts that said WWJD. Y'all remember that? What does WWJD mean? What would Jesus do? That's right. So you know, some of y'all may still wear those things. That's fine. I know I saw a guy one time with a tattoo of it on him, WWJD. You know, and I'm like, okay, man. Amen. But I know that some people still wear those things, but some of you may still wear those. But to know what Jesus would do, we need to have the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ, we've got to be in His Word. We've got to abide in His Word. It's just that simple. How do we abide in His Word? Well, first you got to read it. There's some folks in church, they read their Bible when they come to church on Sundays. They look at it in Sunday school. Sometimes they don't read it then. They let somebody read it to them. But you know what? If you want to hear God's Word, if you want to hear God speak to you, you've got to read His Word. You've got to abide in His Word. Not just sometimes, daily. It's got to be a daily thing. You've got to do that. You've got to spend time with Jesus, and you've got to pray to Him, and you've got to ask Him what He would have you do. You know, we've just got to do that. To have the mind of Christ, we've got to have His Word within us. In Psalms 119:11, it says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If we want to move away from sin and stay away from those things of God, we've got to have God's Word in us. We've got to abide in His Word. We've got to read His Word and let it be part of us. There's another Psalm that says this in Psalms 37, 3 and 4. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. We read there about how if we abide in His Word, that you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. That doesn't mean that whatever I want, well, God, I want a new boat. Can you give me that, Lord? Please. You know, that's not what it's talking about. When we come to the Lord in full surrender, when we give our lives to Him, when we give everything to Him, He will change the desires of our heart. You know, in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes about us being the new creation and how old things have passed away, all things become new. Well, guess what else becomes new? Your desires. You do not desire, if you are in Christ, you do not desire the things of the world, the things of the flesh. You desire what Christ wants you to have. And you know what? When you ask for those things, you will get them. You'll have them. And that's what He's talking about here. It doesn't mean that He will give you whatever you want. That means that He will give you the desires of your heart. He will change the desires of your heart. It means that when you abide in Him and His Word, that the desires of your heart will be adjusted to His desires. Because you follow Him. And when you abide in Him, that's what will happen. Your desires should change to whatever it is that Jesus wants. We should want to do the things that Christ has called us to do. And when His Word abides in us, we will ask for the things that honor God, that will honor Him, that the things that will be given to us, because that's what glorifies God, is by asking and doing the things that He calls us to do. In verse 8, it even talks about that glorification. He says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. God is glorified when we produce His fruit. God is glorified when, as His disciples, because if you have surrendered to Him in true surrender, you are a disciple. Right? So God is glorified when, as His disciples, we do the things that He calls us to. And He calls us to abide in Him, and to abide in His Word, and to abide to bear fruit. The next thing is, we should abide with obedience. In verse 10, He says, "If you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love." So the first part of verse 10 tells us how we can abide in His love. And it is by keeping His commandments. That's how we abide in His love, by keeping His commandments. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey, right? Y'all remember that good old hymn? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We can be happy in Jesus if we just keep His commandments. The second half of this verse teaches us He gives us a perfect example of doing this. And it's His example. He says, "Just as I have kept My Father's commandments, abide in His love." He's telling us to abide. He's telling us to do that so that we can follow His example. Man's idea of joy is to have what I want, what I need. I want people to do what pleases me. I'm not worried about what God wants. I want what I want. And they get upset when they don't get what they want. That's man's idea of joy. And it's to be happy by leaving God out of life. By not asking, is this what Jesus wants me to do? By not asking, what would Jesus do? You know, that's what we look at, and it's by doing His own thing. Not looking toward God, toward guidance, not abiding in the vine, but abiding in Himself. That's what man wants. That's what man's idea of joy is. But Jesus was teaching that real joy comes by taking God into your life, and in every aspect of your life, in every part, everything you do, everything you say, is this God? You know, do you ever do that? Do you ever, like, when you're doing things, do you ask yourself, is this God honoring, or is this something I just want to do? Is this really what God is wanting, asking me to do? You know, we should be more self-aware, other-aware, and God-aware in the things we do, and how we approach the world and how we approach worldly things. That's what we need to be looking toward. But true joy comes by abiding in Him through obedience. Not just parts you want to do, but every part. And finally, the last thing we need to do is we need to abide in love. He first mentions in verse 9 when he says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in My love." And then in verse 12, he says this. He says, "This is My commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." There's another song, right? Remember that song? "This is My commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full." I remember singing it at VBS and we said, "That your joy may be full." Remember that? Y'all remember that, hey? I mean, come on. That's good stuff. But that's what he's talking about. We must abide in Him. But we have to follow His commandment. And He gives us this commandment to love one another as I have loved you. We just got through talking about abiding in obedience. Now Jesus is asking them to, He's giving them this new command to love one another. And how long are we to love one another? He says, how are we to love one another? He says, "As I have loved you." How did He love us? Well, He died for us. And we're going to get that in the next verse, right? But you know, sometimes when we do this, when He says this, how are we to love one another? And He says, "As I have loved you," sometimes we get in a situation where we say, come on, Jesus, you really expect me to do that? I mean, do you know what so-and-so did to me? Maybe you don't know. Maybe I need to tell you that. Why am I supposed to love them? But He asks us to be obedient. And He asks us to abide and love. That's what He tells us to do. That's what He says in verse 9. He says to abide in my love. And you see, Jesus was about to... See, the reason He was telling them this, Jesus was about to leave His disciples. And He wanted to tell them, and He wants to tell us too, that you know, tensions will increase because the Savior isn't physically with them, is what He's telling them. Yeah, He knew that tensions would increase. He knew there would be danger to the disciples, and He knew that they would start competing with each other. He knew that they would be challenging each other. He knew that they would be arguing with each other. He knew that they would be fighting with one another, hating one another. Does any of that sound familiar, church? Do we experience that in God's church today? We sure do. And that's why He gives us this command to abide in my love. In verse 9, He tells us, abide in my love. And so as the Lord leaves this standing order to love one another as I've loved you, then in verse 13 He says this, He says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You know, and sometimes we ask questions, did He really mean that? Look at the context in which Jesus said this to His disciples. What was about to happen the next day? He was about to do that very thing. He was about to lay down His life for His friends. He was about to lay down His life for all of us. You know, wonder what the disciples thought of when they, after the crucifixion, when they thought back about what Jesus had said the night before. And they remembered this. Oh yeah. That's why He told us to love each other, because and how to show that love, which was the greatest way to show that love, was by laying down my life for my friend. And then in verse 14 He says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And there it is again, this abiding in obedience by loving one another as He loved us. And you know, church, we're His friends. We're His friends if we follow, if we obey, if we follow His lead by loving each other the way He loved us. By loving each other enough to lay down our lives for our friends, for our sisters, for our brothers. If we abide in His love, we are His friends. Do you understand that this morning, church? Let me ask you this. Are you friends with Jesus? Some of us, we've been going to church for years. We gave our lives to Jesus a long time ago, but we've just not bearing fruit. You know, I went to a bunch of y'all know, Thursday, I went to a training session down in Montgomery, and there was a preacher there who said this. He said when he was a young preacher, or when he had first, he wasn't a preacher yet. He had just made his commitment to the ministry. He had not become a preacher yet. He said, but an old man at church came up to him. He says, hey, son, you a soul winner? He said, yes, sir, I'm a soul winner. He says, oh, yeah? How many people you shared the love of Jesus with today? Well, none. Oh, okay. Well, how many did you share the gospel with yesterday? None. Okay, well then how about this week? You've shared the gospel with at least one person in the last week, hadn't you? No, sir. And then he asked him, how about a month? Have you shared the gospel with anybody this month? No, sir, I hadn't. He said, man, you ain't no soul winner. It's not bearing fruit. But he said, that old man said, but you know what? I'm going to teach you how to be a soul winner. I'm going to come pick you up Saturday and we're going to go win some souls. And he said that, let me tell you, it was so funny. He said that at 6 o'clock, that old man beat on his door Saturday morning. He wasn't even up. And he said, "What? You're not ready? I thought you was a soul winner." And he took him out, and they went to a nursing home, and then they went to the park, and they went to several places all day Saturday, and they shared the gospel of Jesus with just, he said he didn't know how many people we shared the gospel with. And he said, finally, at the end of the day, the old man said to him, said, "Hey, man," grabbed some guy up in the middle of the park, said, "Hey, do you know Jesus Christ?" He said, "Well, I've heard of him, yeah. Have you given your life to Jesus?" "Well, I don't know about that." "Well, hold on. My brother here is going to tell you how to do it." And he set him right up. And it was then he started bearing fruit. So I put that question to you. How many of you shared the gospel with lately? Are you bearing fruit? Some of us, we've been going to church for years, but are we truly bearing fruit? Are we truly abiding in Christ? Are we abiding to bear fruit? Are we abiding in obedience? Are we abiding in His love? It's a big question, you know, if we're really doing that. But you know what? You can start doing that today. You can start being a branch who bears fruit today. So those of you who have been Christian for years and you've had difficulty with that, I just ask you this morning, are you abiding in Him? Are you bearing fruit? And some of you this morning, you may not even know Jesus. And you may say, "I don't even know what that means." Well, guess what? You can start today too. All you got to do is come and give your life to Him. All you got to do is admit that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, and you give up your sins to Him. You can repent of your sins and ask Him to forgive you your sins, because you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then all you got to do after you repent of your sin, you got to believe in Him. You got to believe in Jesus and give every part of you yourself to Him. You got to abide in Him. And then you got to confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of your life. The Bible says that, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth confesses and is saved." And that's what we've got to do this morning, church. We've got to start living out the gospel. And the way we live out the gospel is to abide in Him. Okay? That's what we've got to do. I tell you what, every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's do this. I want you to ask yourself this morning, am I truly abiding in Jesus? Am I truly abiding in His love? Am I bearing fruit? If somebody was to call me out and ask me if I was a Christian today, would there be proof in my life that I was? And I want to ask you this, if you don't know Jesus, right now, would you surrender your life to Him? Father God, I ask You to bless us. I ask You, Father, to show us what we need to turn over to You. I pray, God, that every soul in here will search themselves and make a decision this morning whether they've given everything to You, God. If they've surrendered their entire life to You or only just pieces. And I pray, Lord, this morning that we would be branches that abide in You. And Father God, to that person in here who doesn't know You, I pray, God, Holy Spirit, speak to their heart this morning. I pray, Father, that You would convict them of their sin and that they would come and repent of that sin this morning and give their lives to You. Help us, God, to seek You out in all things. For it's these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.